May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, for me, as I looked through and read and thought about the lessons, I thought to myself, for me, the summary is all about being strengthened, being changed, being transformed. Why? To serve God, to serve His purpose, to serve our holy God's will. So that's where I'd like to begin, with Exodus. Well, we know that Moses had a mountaintop experience this day. He was up at Mount Sinai. And when he came down from the mount, he didn't realize that his face had shone, you know, brightly. And he didn't realize why everybody was scared. But then he did find out. But back then, we have to realize that in those ancient times, the people back then believed that if they saw God face to face, that they would die. One good reason to be afraid. But it wasn't true. But that's what they felt. So they were afraid. They were afraid of Moses. They were afraid of his shining face and his being with the Lord, their God. So now, when Moses came down, he was changed. He was transformed. He was strengthened. And if we remember, he was strengthened from the very beginning of his ministry. He was afraid to free God's holy people from slavery. He was afraid to go up against Pharaoh. He stuttered. Maybe that was a little bit of me, you know. But he was really afraid to do this, and God strengthened him. And he was willing to do what God wanted. So that's exactly what he did. He freed the people. And then afterwards, he brought God's Ten Commandments to his people. The law, the Torah. That's what Moses was all about. And then as we turn to the gospel, before we really get into it too much, I'd like to talk about Elijah. Elijah, too, had a mountaintop experience at Mount Horeb. He met God there. First he thought he saw God in the wind, in an earthquake, and then finally a small, small, quiet voice. Because actually, Elijah, who was the prophet amongst all prophets, was scared to death and hiding out, to the point where even God Almighty said to him, "What the heck are you doing in this cave? Let's get going. You know, you're supposed to be doing my will." But Elijah, he was afraid because he had killed all of the priests of Baal from Ahab and Jezebel. And Jezebel was out to get him. Jezebel was ruthless, and Jezebel was going to kill him. So he was afraid. And that's okay. We're all human. All of us. We have our fears, just like Moses and just like Elijah. But they were willing to listen to the Lord. They were willing to be strengthened by their God, to still serve him, even though they might be afraid. And so there we have Moses, the giver of the law, and we have Elijah, the prophet among all prophets. So next we have Jesus. So we know Jesus had many mountaintop experiences, which one we're going to talk about in just a second. And so Jesus brought with him Peter and James and John. And they went up the hill, the mountain, to pray. And of course, James and John and Peter, they were a little tired, but they did stay awake. And although they weren't afraid of Jesus because his face shone and his clothes became dazzling white, they weren't afraid of Jesus. Why? Because they knew him. They knew him personally. They trusted in him. They had faith in him. And they loved him. But their day was going to get a little bit more exciting. So suddenly, they see Moses and Elijah with Jesus. And they were talking about Jesus' departure in Jerusalem. And that was a nice way of saying they were basically, God was basically transforming and strengthening Jesus to be able to endure the cross. In fact, that's why the Stations of the Cross came about, because back then, people were so focused on Jesus' divine nature that they were forgetting that, yes, Jesus is 100% God, but Jesus is also 100% human. And a crucifixion, that's torture. It's frightening. It's beyond frightening. It's horrible. And so Jesus was willing to follow God's will, but for him, he needed to be strengthened. That's why he had this experience. So we can relate to Jesus because he's our personal Savior, and he is just like you and I. He is just like us. And so what happens? They see Elijah and Moses talking with them. And so when they left, Peter, who had the mouth, but yet we have to remember, Jesus used Peter as his mouthpiece. Peter was the first bishop of Rome. He had the keys to the kingdom. He was in charge of the church when Jesus left. But Peter did have quite a mouth. So Peter says to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here." True. "Let us make three dwellings, or booths. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And that was a good thought, but it wasn't what God wanted. They were still not quite getting the drift. God suddenly decides, okay, we have to wake these people up and say, all right, Peter, John, and James, Jesus is the main man. Jesus is my son, my beloved. He's the Christ, my anointed. He's your Savior. When the cloud left and God had told them, I want you to listen to him. He is my son. Who was still there? Jesus. So they got the point. Jesus is the apex. Jesus is God's perfect nature being revealed. We don't need anything else past Jesus to show us, to bring us, to reconcile us back to God. Jesus is our Savior. And they finally knew it. When I looked at the bulletin this morning, I have to admit, there's a couple of things that really surprised me about how the Holy Spirit works, you know, through music, through the bulletin, through the sermon, and everything. If you look at your bulletin, it has a transfiguration maze in the kitty corner. And it's kind of like, all right, I thought to myself, there's a little guy there scratching his head. Okay, which way do I go? Which way do I choose? And that might be a question for us today and during Lent. Which way do we choose? Well, we choose Jesus' way. To be with him, to turn to him, and to follow him so that we make it to our Lord and our God. For us, reflecting on Jesus' mountaintop experience, realizing the suffering, emotional and physical, that he did, realizing that we too have emotional and physical sufferings, and for us, spiritual sufferings, you know, we can reflect on allowing God to transform us. We do that by taking time out, being alone with God. We do it by taking time out and praying and talking to those around us. Maybe not Moses and Elijah, but that's why we have a church family, to encourage, to support, and to strengthen. So during Lent, we can decide, we can ask ourselves, who are we going to follow? What path do we take? Who is our center? Who's our focus? Who's our treasure? And that leads me to the last, it's a short story, but I found it and I just thought, especially since it was the story that it is, which I'm not going to give away, and it has to do with kids, I thought it was really impressive. It's called Real Treasure by Robin Jones Gunn. We went to open house tonight at the public elementary school. When Rachel's teacher met us, her eyebrows seemed to elevate slightly. She spoke kindly of our first grader, but said she had some concerns. She then invited us to look at the artwork. We would see what she meant. Well, dozens of brown paper treasure chests were tacked on their bulletin board, and each had a barrel top attached with a brad. On the front was printed, "A real treasure would be dot, 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 dot." Well, we walked over and we walked around, beginning opening the lids to all of the barrels. And we opened the lid to find Rachel's treasure, their daughter, and see what so concerned her teacher. As we peeked into each of the chests, we saw TVs printed out and drawn, Nintendos, maybe a few genies, heaps of gold and money, a unicorn, teddy bears. But then Rachel's chest was in the very, very bottom corner. We even had to stoop to open it. Inside of Rachel's barrel, she had drawn Christ hanging on a cross with drops of red blood shaped like hearts dripping from his hand. She had completed the sentence, "A real treasure would be Jesus." So the teacher said to them, "Do you see my concern now?" And the husband agreed and said, "Well, yes, I see what you mean. The J is backwards, isn't it?" Sometimes children get it a little bit more than we adults. Jesus is our treasure. And what an awesome thought that that little girl had when she drew the blood, the drops of blood in the shape of a heart. Truly, Jesus does love each and every one of us that much.